And joining us for this conversation is Tyrone Rubin, the founder of Sense Virtual. Now, Tyrone joins us from our Cape Town studios, but I really have to tell you about the experience we had earlier today. It was in the morning while we were preparing. One of Tyrone's colleagues came to set up and walked into the boardroom and was met with a computer screen and the headset, the virtual reality headset. And there were, a couple of cables and not much else. It wasn't a massive setup. And then we got going, put on the headsets, Oculus Rift headsets. And the first thing that we did was get into a lounge, very cozy lounge, which is like the setup space. And then you can pick different places where you wanted to go. And then next thing, we were in the forest with a deer and a rabbit and a fox around a fire. And then there was a dinosaur right in front of your face looking at you with its sharp teeth. It felt like they were literally breathing down your face. That's how close it felt. And a couple of other settings. One that tripped me up completely was getting into a setting where you're standing on a rooftop. And if you're scared of heights, you just have to pull yourself towards yourself and remind yourself that it's not real. It is not real because it's like a cityscape, skyscrapers all around, and you're standing on the edge of a particular sky rise. And you have the option of looking down, of course, and around you. And it feels so high. You start to almost feel unsure about your footing. So it was thrilling stuff. And then it got even more involved, one where a dinosaur would come around a passage, around the corner, and you're standing in the middle of the passage, and he literally comes your way, pauses to take you in, to kind of inspect you, and then just walks right over you. And then one that got both Kabazela and I was getting onto the roller coaster. That was unreal. Gavin, Tyrone's colleague, literally holds you because you get so immersed in thinking that you're on a roller coaster, that your body moves physically. And he still has the sick feeling from riding this roller coaster early on. He was sweating. He was an absolute mess. I had to offer him some water shame and calm him down. I think he was almost on the brink of tears or calling his mother or something. But that virtual reality of the roller coaster was unbelievable. You feel like you're on an actual roller coaster. And then we got to play a shoot 'em up game as well with the Oculus Rift on. You just have to fight the bad guys. You're able to pick up different weapons and really take on the challenge of battling this massive robot and the minions, of course. It was absolutely wonderful. If you have an opportunity to have this headset on, I think you should take it up because it'll change your world. I think that's all I've thought about since I can only dream of a set at home. So if you have questions around virtual reality, and we'll be podcasting this conversation, it will also be on iTunes, along with some of our previous conversations. We'll give you the details later on. Do give us a call on 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. Tyrone Rubin, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. You've made my day. You've made my week, actually.
That warms my heart to hear.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, aware of the Oculus Rift, you hear about virtual reality, but I haven't really cared to interact with it too much. So this was my first immersed experience, and I think it was worth every single minute. So let's start with looking at Sense Virtual. What is Sense Virtual all about?
We create virtual reality solutions and experiences for companies. And from when we started a few years ago, we had to look at which industries were going to use virtual reality because the technology wasn't where it was 4 years ago and the industry wasn't where it was. So we ended up finding that it served a purpose in the world of marketing, where brands would immerse customers in experience in an activation. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of solutions started coming up with regards to training people in VR. So we're exploring these different industries that are going to be impacted by this new medium.
Yes. And you went on to start to be a part of the formation of VRSA, which is the Virtual Reality South Africa community. This happened a few years ago.
Yes. We looked at what was happening around the world where communities were popping up and communities around technology like WordPress and gaming and whatever other technologies there are, the heartblood of it are the communities that form around it and the talent and the people that are interested. So we had a couple of events just to spur things on. It's definitely not as big as the communities in San Francisco and around the world, but it'll get there.
Yes, yes. I mean, after what I experienced, I don't see why not. I want to see it more, whether it is from an activation perspective through a brand or other uses. There's so many possibilities, and we'll look at those in a short while. Now, for people that aren't too sure about what virtual reality is, how would you define it? I try to give a description there, but from your perspective, how would you define it?
I would say it's another medium, such as the internet or mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it's by far the most immersive medium I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And while being immersed in virtual reality, one can have an interactive experience where you're doing something, or you could have a passive experience where you're just sitting back and completely immersed inside of Game of Thrones as opposed to just watching it.
Oh, imagine that. Khaleesi.
So it could be a powerful one.
Yeah, it was powerful. Let's look at how that works, because what your eyes are telling you and how the body responds and how the sort of things you're able to generate, you know, were unreal. I was describing how Kabazela felt after that's my colleague, because you're in Cape Town, you haven't met him, but how he felt after the roller coaster. It felt very real, as if he had been on one.
It's very interesting. There was a very technical talk by Oculus's chief scientist, who is at the forefront of understanding how this technology can mimic reality to the T.
Mm.
So there was a part of you where you're experiencing it, where you still kind of know that you're in a virtual world. And what virtual reality does is it taps into your lizard brain, making you, even though you know somewhere consciously or subconsciously that you're in virtual reality, your brain still feels that you are in this virtual world. So it taps into the sense of sight, and it taps into the sense of audio, transporting you into a virtual world.
Because it was very real, you know, as you say, that you're able to comfort yourself. I mean, there were moments where if you allowed yourself, you would completely forget. You could forget. I can see that happening. And there were moments where you have to, for instance, standing on the edge, like I was describing, on the edge of a really high building. And if you're scared of heights, you would have to negotiate that in your mind, that this isn't real. This isn't real. Remind yourself that this isn't real. But the experience is so convincing about its realness that I imagine it's easy to also get swept away in that.
So the realness in virtual reality is this holy grail experience where anyone creating something in VR tries to get, and it's called presence.
Mm-hmm.
And presence is what you're feeling right now. And the reason you feel presence right now is because you see things around you, so you see the dimensionality, you can touch things, you can smell things. And a lot of the experiences are just immersive. So you watching a sporting event just to feel like you're there, but it's more of just an immersive experience, like an added layer.
Mm.
But the sense of presence is when VR is used to actually make you believe you're actually in that place that you're being transported to. So presence is the word that the VR community and people
use because that comes with emotion.
Yes, feelings.
And we'll talk about why this is such a powerful thing when we look at the applications later on.
Yes.
Tyrone, let's take a break. My guest is Tyrone Rubin, the founder of Sense Virtual. And we are looking at virtual reality, an immersive experience that it uses computer technology to create a simulated environment that you immerse yourself in with the use of things like the Oculus Rift headset. So we'll take your feedback and your questions after the break.
702 Masterclass.
And we're back with Tyrone Rubin. He is the founder of Sense Virtual. And today's masterclass is all about virtual reality. Tyrone, here's a question that we can start with, one from Blacksmith, saying, please ask your guest what the difference is between virtual reality and augmented reality.
Virtual reality is when you have an HMD, a head-mounted display, a headset on, mm-hmm. and you're completely immersed in a virtual world where anything's possible and you're completely closed off from all forms of reality. And augmented reality is when the virtual and digital world is overlaid with the real world. Mm-hmm. So there are these companies that are about to release these secretive products, mm-hmm. a company like Magic Leap, which is supposed to have these glasses, like a much better version of Google Glass, where you able to overlay the real world with virtual elements.
Yes, yes. And another one, just a comment from Senzo. He says, I own a VR headset. After a few accidents and breakages, I've realized that it's best used in an empty room or garage. and also, headaches are a thing. So is that some of the consequences, the results of maybe being immersed for too long?
When the first headsets came about, they weren't perfect because of something called latency. Latency is when you move left and right, your eye is able to process motion perfectly and everything looks perfect. And the older headsets weren't powerful enough mm-hmm. to have perfect latency. But I literally, we've put through thousands of people for the last few years with the latest VR, and we've never had headaches. And I mean, fair enough, people weren't in it that long, but I think maybe if you're looking at a normal screen for too long, yeah, no headaches. It used to be a bit of nausea back in the day, but yeah. I actually haven't heard of headaches.
Ah, I see. So there's an improvement on that. There's one from, there is Ngwenze Ni from Kempton Park saying, hi, is there a difference between virtual reality and 4D movies? Because your description fits my experience with 4D movies. Did it once at Ushaga Marine. And boy, oh boy, it was awesome. Everything felt so real. Yes, I can sit. I mean, I'm no expert, but there is a difference.
I would say that there maybe is between 5 and... I don't know, 10% max of what one can experience in a 4D theater, whereas you can experience, that's all that you can experience. Whereas with virtual reality, it's completely limitless. There's a huge difference. They've added on elements on current technology of a cinema mm-hmm. experience that make it a little bit more immersive, whereas with VR, you're not only completely immersive, but the experiences in the various industries, which we'll cover, like education and training, and right. those are limitless. So,
yes, yes. Yeah. And let's look at the different levels to this, because what we experience today is probably the top of the range experience mm-hmm. with the Oculus Rift, where everything else is blocked off. And what you see, of course, is what your screen, and it takes you, it immerses you in that experience, in that world. But there are other types of, your system can be made up differently, right?
We break down the different ranges of the current VR equipment that's available to the consumer. So the low end would be where you take your mobile phone and you get given from a brand, or you purchase for not that much, a Google Cardboard, and you have a 2-minute immersive experience, or you play a little bit of a game, mm-hmm. or you view in a property with a very inexpensive device. The next mid-range level would be the Samsung Gear, which continually gets improved. Even now there's one with a controller. And we still blow people away with the Samsung Gear. Mm-hmm. The key difference is, though, the Samsung Gear is fixed. You can't move. There's no what's called positional tracking, where you're in the virtual world and you can't interact with it. Oh. Then you've got the current consumer high-end 3 devices, which is the PlayStation VR, the HTC, and the Oculus. And that's what you experienced, where you have your hand controllers and I like to say anything, any experience is possible.
Mm. Yes, and there was a grid that almost requires you view to stay within a particular area, so to speak.
So you don't bump your head against. Maybe the guy's grid wasn't on, so
yeah,
he should turn it on so he doesn't bump into things.
And Tyrone, Gavin talked about how even with that roller coaster, people have been known to actually carry out those actions, the movement of the roller coaster. That's why it would be, for their safety, it's important to have another person present to almost help them physically, because they might just fall over or carry out those movements, and that's how they could end up getting hurt.
Yeah, people like to push that experience because we're often at an event and there's quite conservative, beautiful space experiences, and then you've got people who just want to have something very intense. Yeah. And that's a quick experience that once you're immersed and you're on this crazy roller coaster, you get very scared and
There's a question here from John. It says, what is meant by virtual reality in multimedia?
I think that maybe it's regarding the entertainment aspect of virtual reality in the world of gaming and filmmaking, mm-hmm. and those type of multimedia experiences.
Okay, so using this to tap into other senses.
Using this to tap into the entertainment world. I think that's what multimedia is. The media world. I don't
know. All right. So we'll continue our conversation after the headlines. Tara Penny will be with us to give us the latest in EWN. We've got Tyrone Rubin, the founder of Sense Virtual, joining us as we take a look at the growth of the virtual reality movement in South Africa. There's so many different applications that we'll be exploring, whether it is from education and training to advertising to sport, retail. There are so many uses of this new technology that continues to improve on a daily basis. And we'll take your questions. You can SMS on 31702, and you can also give us a call on 011-883-0702.
702 Masterclass.
And we're back with Tyrone Rubin, the founder of Sense Virtual, taking a look at the virtual reality community in South Africa. Some of the strides that have been made and the developments that we are making and our contribution, of course, to this particular community all over the world. Tyrone, thank you for staying with us. Let's look at some of the applications because they are so varied. There was a moment when when I got immersed into almost a craft within the human body, and it felt like this could be very useful for training of future medical practitioners or anyone that's working in the healthcare sector, maybe how medicine gets delivered in explaining certain concepts.
Just today I was reading an article about a medical institute that was teaching their students, I think at Stanford, on just the heart. And you could see images of someone playing around with different hearts. It's definitely the safest way that you can learn certain things.
Without the actual, but within virtual reality.
It becomes limitless. There's an experience that's available for free just on the human eye. Yeah. And you take it apart and just the average consumer can see it. It's got this high level of retention. That through doing and being there and looking, if you're learning about geography, a volcano, you can actually go through the different rock formations and visualize them and see them firsthand. You're going to be able to go to, there are already space journeys. There was one I experienced where you go with the astronauts who first landed on the moon and you felt what it was like there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a huge thing for education and training, definitely, and it's already been proven that.
Yeah, so it's already being applied. That's interesting. They mentioned the question of retention, the retention rate. Do we know whether or not it's higher than the conventional way of learning?
The reports are on 60% higher at this moment that I've uncovered in regards to reports out there. I think it's going to be, that's just the start. I think for someone like me who's much more of an audio-visual learner, mm-hmm. it's going to be much more than that. When you're going to put someone in a very high-end experience for an hour and teach them something, mm-hmm. how to take apart a car and put it back together, and you're going to then compare that with giving them a book or an online course of the same nature, mm-hmm. it's going to destroy it in terms of retention, I believe. And those are some of the reports already that are out there.
Yeah. So maybe if you learn differently, if you learn and you're, as you said, if you're visually, if you use if you're able to retain information visually better than through other means, then this could be very useful in addressing those learning gaps for certain students. So, and looking at the experience, it was very memorable afterwards. So I can certainly believe that the effect that it had afterwards stays with you. So the chances of you remembering the feeling, what you saw visually, are certainly high. Let's hear from Tammy calling from Pretoria. Tammy, you have a question for Tyrone. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
I've been dabbling in VR for about the past 12 months.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I could create some content. And so on. Now, in taking the next step, I'd like to find out how would I work with feeding data into my, it could be an app or so on, into my app, and having people be immersed in that data almost in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be possible, and are there tools for that?
All right. Very interesting question, especially the real-time one. Tyrone, any responses for Tammy?
Are you creating your application for Samsung Gear or Oculus? There's a lot of details I would need, because this could become a very technical
question. Okay.
With regards to like a technical team that I've behind in regards to taking real-time data. There was a banking app we're working with where we're taking, yes, to answer your question, real-time data feeds from the bank,
mm-hmm.
whereby they could do transactions in a virtual world. Mm-hmm. So the software applications are limitless. It's just depending on what platform you're using and how you're going about it.
All right.
So it is possible. Yes, you
definitely,
want to take it to the next level.
Real-time data into VR applications is definitely possible.
Where can she go, Tyrone, because the community is there? Where does everybody gather to discuss these questions?
We're planning the first hackathon this year, where mm-hmm. people will be able to come and build and interact with other developers. We had quite a few events 2 years ago and last year. We haven't gotten around to a date for this year's event, but you can go to virtualrealitysa.com and join as a member. You can always find Sense Virtual on Facebook and contact us. We're always busy working on various projects. We are definitely, I think as far as I know, the first VR studio that came about, and there's definitely others that have sprung about since then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. Tammy, there you go. So VRSA.com as a start.
VirtualRealitySA.com.
VirtualRealitySA.com. Okay.
Okay. We'll do.
Good luck. Oh, exciting. Thank you. That's Tammy out in Pretoria. So the education and training applications are limitless. The subject matters, no doubt, probably also limitless. Mathematics, business, economics, engineering, medicine. I'm sure the range is very broad as to what's possible when it comes to education and training and using VR.
Yeah, I mean, there's a kids game which teaches kids physics, where they put different objects together and see how they move once they put together, and you're there visualizing it.
Mm.
So, and just wanted to say that it's not going to be the be-all and end-all anytime soon. As an additional training tool, mm-hmm. it's really great. And in terms of any applications that require safety, so a mining company contacted us about the idea of rather having their employees use virtual reality to train on this very expensive, very dangerous equipment mm-hmm. before they went out and actually trained on the real equipment. So it can tick the box of safety, it can tick the box of retention and interaction, and actually seeing the results of putting molecules together and what happens.
So giving a cost saver and improving on the safety track record. Okay, that's encouraging. Advertising is something that you mentioned early on, because you've created different campaigns using virtual reality for different brands. Can we talk about some of them and what you managed to achieve? One of them involves my soccer club, Orlando Pirates. What did you do for Pirates?
What we did was we spent a day filming the Orlando Pirates football team in 360-degree video, and then created a 360-degree immersive video where kids who had never been able to spend the day with them were given Google Cardboards and taken on a trip. And during that trip, they were surprised by being able to put on these headsets and spend the day with the Orlando Pirates and feel like what it was there to be like while they were actually training. So it was cool. In the world of an activation. And when we look at what's happening overseas, if you Google pretty much every brand, they've all done something in this world as far as an activation. And brands are trying to top each other now by having these immersive experiences in shopping malls or 360 videos online. And when they're out there in the real world at a conference or an expo, yeah, people are guaranteed to try it.
Wow. Are there dangers around that? Like, especially ethical questions, because you are... And I know brands, I mean, they put together communication that's meant to just develop some sort of emotional feeling from us. You know, that's what they try to do, to build that connection. So are there any risks? Because this literally shortcuts the work. It short circuits the work. It takes you straight to having a feeling about a brand because you've had an experience, which so far has been very hard to create for brands. It's almost taken them a longer, there are more steps involved, whereas this way it is you're able to go straight there.
I haven't thought of any risks. I see it as like an uber fun way for a brand to have a really awesome experience where it's purely entertainment driven as opposed to any forced messages things. I don't know if that's what you were meaning. But it's definitely an exciting experience.
So is everything virtual? Or not virtual, is everything animated? Because with the Orlando Pirates experience, you said you used a 360-degree camera. So does that suggest that it's possible to use actual real visuals instead of what we saw earlier, which was all strictly animation?
So the two ways that you create content for VR. One is what you experienced using animation, computer graphics, CG.
Yeah.
And the other way is capturing real footage, where nowadays it becomes very similar to shooting a television commercial, where you'll shoot, instead of using one camera that captures one dimension, you capture all 360 degrees using a few cameras and you stitch them together. And you edit it like a normal video, and Facebook and YouTube support 360-degree videos, but you rather want to immerse someone in that using a headset, so it becomes more immersive. So you create either video content or CG content, or you can mix them. And what we like to always say is once you've got the headset on, any experience or solution is possible.
Right. Oh, okay. But of course, you can't interact with the actual footage of an experience. You can only be in it.
Correct. At this moment, with the 360 video cameras, it is fixed. So you shoot in around you in a sports field. And the camera technology that will allow you to move around is something called light field technology. And a company called Lytra is spearheading this, where you'll be able to capture the footage, like I'm in the studio, capture it, and then I'll be able to move through all the elements. Could be a few years away.
Ah, okay.
From that. But, you know, we're ready, we're patient.
And it moves at a fast pace.
It does. In the last 4 years, it's moved at an exceptionally fast pace.
Yeah.
We got this Oculus DK1 headset where... Yeah, there was just a few experiences. It wasn't that clear. And now they're available to the public and it's become exponentially better.
Oh, and very exciting. Tyrone, let's take a break. The founder of Sense Virtual, Tyrone Rubin, is with us in our Cape Town studios. And we're talking about the virtual reality community in South Africa and some of the work that Sense Virtual has been doing. We'll take your questions on virtual reality. Have you experienced it? Have you had an opportunity to put on those Oculus Rift headsets? What did you see? How did it feel? I want to hear from you on 011-883-0702. How could this change our shopping experience?
Again, that's the second time you've warmed my heart by mentioning that. We're talking at a retail conference in June, and the team has been heads down built in the first virtual mall in virtual reality. and at first we started out just by testing the concept of being in a shoe store, and you would view the limitless products that are around. So you go into the Nike store, they can show you 100 shoes, but you can have a headset on and it can show an infinite amount. And they're doing the same thing with Audi showrooms all over the world, where they're having the VR headset that allows you to test drive the car and see the car.
Whoa.
And change the colors and be there with the car. So while we were building the shoe store, we said, let's build a clothing store. Mm-hmm. And then we started building a bank in the mall. And we're at the stage now where you can stand in a confined area of 3 meters by 3 meters and be in a limitless shopping mall. It's a prototype at the moment, and we're going to be demoing it in June. And yeah, and then in terms of in-store retail, it's something I'm also very excited about. A lot of stores are creating VR experiences in-store that are drawing people into the store to experience catalogs. Or Tom's, for example, a shoe store overseas, tells their story about when you buy one of the shoes, they donate a shoe to charity, and they're using that store, they're using a VR experience in their store to tell that story. So it can really draw people into to stores.
Wow. That sounds incredible. It's going to change, or it's going to really maybe compromise online shopping, you know, sometime in the future, not anytime soon, but further on in the future. As you said, if you're able to then experience a test drive in a vehicle, that's just fantastic. And you're able to see the specs that you want, this color, that interior, with that tire, that mag, the combinations that you want at your leisure, and not just imagined, but to have a sense of what it'll look like, what the final product will look like. It's really going to revolutionize the shopping experience. That's very exciting. Let's go to Annerie. Is Annerie in Four Ways? Good afternoon.
Hi, Azania. It's Annerie.
Yes, welcome.
I just spoke to your producer and he said, I'm going to speak to you. So I don't actually want to be on air, but here I am.
Oh, Gazella.
my mother's got macular degeneration. It's an eye thing. And she had this very beautiful experience with this thing. When she put this glasses or this visual thing on, she could actually see more. And it was so fantastic. But there's such a little... There's not a lot of programs or a lot of movies or whatever. It's not so readily available. I would love to hear what your guest has got to say with it. Is it going to go maybe into that area with people having that type of problem?
Yes, with poor eyesight. All right, so you're saying normally her eyesight is poor, but when she put on the headsets, she was able to see...
Macular degeneration, it actually takes your straight vision away, but you can see on the sides. Now, with this thing, it actually brings everything in closer, and you can see more from what you're actually viewing. It was actually a fabulous experience.
Wow, what a great benefit. Yeah. Tyrone, do you know anything about that for people who have poor sight?
I'll just address, I think that you were mentioning... something about finding out content, if it's actually working. So if it's actually allowing for an experience because of the 360 view and because it's easier to view than a television, which is incredible, then Samsung phone with the Samsung Gear will really have a fortune of content on it. Obviously, you can either get in touch with us and we can give you tips on where to download the content from or how to use it. But if you get that device, you'll have a whole range of National Geographic content for someone to watch. I'll have to do some research to see if other people with macular degeneration are using it. But what they are using it for is experiences in hospitals where patients can't get outside. And there's a big push in the medical world using virtual reality.
So you can at least feel that you had fresh air, even though you and walked amongst the trees on the grass, even though you are in your bed in the hospital.
Yeah, and a dentist has been using it instead of giving pain medication. Quite recently, there was an article about that.
What do you mean? So while he's working on your teeth, you have the headset on?
Yes,
and you're
and
somewhere
a picture
else.
Of it.
Oh, I see.
That I saw, exactly.
Her uses just seem to be endless. And it's also been used quite a bit at by real estate agents.
Yes.
How has it, is it all about selling property or taking you to the home that you want to purchase?
Yes, yeah, so I was walking down Seapoint and just see a whole range of properties on the boards. There's like 50 properties on one board.
Yeah.
And came up with the idea, it was probably being used overseas, but came up with the idea that the best way to view those properties is in real life. And I firmly believed at the time, this was a few years ago, that the very best way to view those properties is in VR. Mm-hmm. And we built these prototypes and those expensive equipment that you saw were being used to show the properties. But then we created an app which gets used on the Samsung Gear, whereby a real estate agent just needs a phone and a Samsung Gear and is able to show people hundreds of properties for them to choose from in VR, which is way better than a catalog or a pamphlet. And then obviously they can go see the property in real life. That's for existing properties. Mm. And then for properties that are being developed, you can also put those files into VR and view them and walk around the buildings. And then it gets to the point of design and interior design where you can move around the furniture of the store, see the best way. Yeah, I mean, once you've got that headset on and you come up with the idea or the application and you get in the results, it can be applied to a lot of industries.
We've been using this word, starting to abuse it, in fact, limitless. Let's go to Leonard in Boksburg. Hello, Leonard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Leonard. Go ahead.
Good. Tyron, just a quick question. Last year, we were able to see a showcase of a particular technology. It's actually invented in, it's an African invention. It's called Think and Zoom, where they basically take the Google glasses for patients that aren't able to focus on a particular object for, you know, a problem like astigmia. Mm-hmm. And what they've basically found the location in the brain that sends the signal, and what they've been able to do is encode that to be able to send a signal to the glasses to basically do the focusing on the eye's behalf.
Oh.
Have you had a chat or a look at something like that, and where virtual reality could integrate into that space?
Mm-hmm.
The space of medical locally, we have not yet gone into covered retail training, property activations, things like that. So we know that there's definitely a market for applications of what you're talking about in the medical world, but I'm only researching it, but I haven't had any first-hand experience with creating anything in the medical world.
Mm.
But it's an exciting world that is using VR for different solutions.
Let's hear from Richard next in Auckland Park. Hello, Richard.
Hi, guys. I just want to know how far you think we are from live sport broadcasts in virtual reality.
Ooh.
You know, getting in the lazy boy on a Saturday morning and being in a stadium watching the haka, that kind of thing. Or the English Premier League, you know.
Ooh, that would be fantastic. Even if there's a delay, like a little 10-minute delay or something, I think that would be thrilling.
That's fine. But I mean, being in the middle of the stadium, I think would be really cool. So that's my question. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Richard.
Was it Richard?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to let you know, Richard, that it's available now. It's been available for a while. I've been live streaming the NBA, and it gives you that visceral feeling of the fact that you're really there. So the live streaming is there. The cameras have been around, and they're live streaming. I can't remember the name of the main company internationally that's doing a lot of the high-end live streaming. When you have a Samsung Gear VR or an Oculus and you're live streaming video, it is not going to be as clear as the 4K video, because that's going to be a bit too magical for us right now. And then everyone will be watching sport that way. But it is pretty clear, but it gives you that immersion. And I was watching a bit of the last Olympics in VR, and It was the Winter Olympics.
Wow.
And you felt like you were on the slope, and it was quite intense with the players. So it's there. I saw it at UEFA. They were filming it all in 360. So live streaming 360 is there, just not perfect. So, Azania, the experience you had is now commercially available, and it's perfect. A game is perfect in VR. But live streaming 360, unless you've got all the equipment and you're in the States, it's close-ish to perfect, but it's around the corner.
Wow. That just sounds incredible. It must be tried. So, Richard, I hope you'll be looking into it. You sounded quite thrilled about the prospect. And then, of course, there's the question about the intimate side of things. Are there virtual reality applications when it comes to human intimacy and things like sex?
But yeah.
I was going to let you go on that one, Tyrone.
Well, if you look at the internet and what happened with that industry, it spurred it along. But the reports are that it's not like the internet going to be the industry that's going to spur along VR. It's going to be gaming, and it's going to be, I think, second education. And maybe that industry will be third, but who knows? It might be the biggest industry being used by VR. But it is. The honest truth is it is being used by VR quite extensively to have intimate experiences.
Wow. It's been fascinating. I'll direct our listeners to your website, sensevirtual.com, and then vrsa.com. Thank you very much, Tyrone.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That's Tyrone Rubin, founder of Sense Virtual.